facts, around one in five smaller, mainly family-run nursing homes have shut down between the start of the pandemic in early 2020 and the end of 2022, according to a recent report from the ESRI. It comes at a time of increased interest from overseas private investors, with some estimates suggesting overseas private investors now own an estimated 40% of nursing home beds in this country. Marion Harkin, you've a motion in the Dáil tomorrow on the challenges facing childcare and nursing home sectors. But we'll go first and specifically to nursing homes.
Okay.
Can you just talk a little bit about what you're specifically calling for tomorrow?
Well, I suppose the reason I put both of those together just in a sentence, Anya, is because it's care at the beginning and the end of life. And it's care that has to be accessible, affordable and quality care. And it's crucial for our society and how we as a society operate. So in that context, looking at nursing home care first, obviously everybody wants to stay in their own home for as long as possible. And government policy has to be directed in that way. But at the same time, some people have to go to nursing homes. And my main concern is this, and you talked about the ESRI report, and it recognised and flagged that regional inequalities in nursing homes are increasing. Because what's happening is that the smaller, medium-sized nursing homes, very often family-run, are closing, not continuing to operate because of cost, and I'll come to that in a moment. And larger companies are moving in. But if they close in a small town in Sligo or Leitrim, that the larger companies will not reopen a nursing home or open a nursing home there. It'll be in a larger town or a city. So we have an increasing regional imbalance. The ESRI say that, not me. So the question is, why is that happening? Well, it's happening because we have a three-tier system. If you own a private nursing or voluntary nursing home in Leitrim, you get €231 on average less per patient per week than if you run the same nursing home in Dublin. So in a small nursing home of 40 people, that's over €500,000 a year. So that's the first tier. And secondly, if there's a public nursing home nearby, they get about 50 to 60% more per patient per week. So these smaller privately run nursing homes, their costs are increasing like everybody else's, but they are under fair deal. They are, it's an unfair deal.
And what you want to see is this stabilisation fund, €265 million, to try and kind of close that gap.
That's to start with. But what I want to see is that the money follows the patient. It's not so much that nursing homes in Dublin or Leitrim or Sligo get more or less. It depends on the services that they provide. So instead of the payments being determined, first of all, by location, and secondly, by whether you're private or public, none of that makes any sense to deliver services. It has to be delivered on a needs basis. And the government immediately need to implement this, because if they don't, more and more smaller nursing homes will close and regions and areas will be left without.
Eimear Curry of Fine Gael, given everything we talked about in the first half around the demographics and the resourcing and the waiting list, what Marion is talking about surely makes financial sense. This is a good investment in our citizens, that older generation. Close the gap now.
It's not that I'm going to disagree with anything that Marion has said or the point that you've made. And, you know, $1.5 billion for Fair Deal to look after 23,000 people. Older people in the state, you know, it's money well spent. But I do think we need to maybe add to what Marion has said and said that, yes, some nursing homes have shut down, but for example, four centres opened in 2022, 10 last year, two in 2024. I acknowledge the financial challenges faced by the nursing home sector. I have a family-run nursing home, an independent nursing home across the road from me. I'm very familiar with it. I know the money that the government has put in terms of tips, the energy supports, TAPS during COVID. There is the National Treatment Purchase Fund and the opportunity to negotiate fair deals on a shorter basis now, so that if there is increasing costs, it can be addressed. So look, I think we have to recognise, and I think the government does recognise, that nursing homes are under pressure. We are seeing, like we have said, not just an ageing population, but we are seeing more complex needs in nursing homes because they are older and more people are staying at home. But yes, we do need to invest. But at the same time, we are doing a lot in this space.
Pat Daly of Sinn Féin, do you accept the Marian thesis there, that there is a danger of these smaller independent operators being driven out in favour of these larger institutional, sometimes investors from abroad? And what would Sinn Féin
do? That is correct. That is happening on the ground, and we saw that during COVID, and it's happening for various reasons. And we give broad support to the Marian's bill across childcare and nursing homes. With some caveats. There is definitely pressure on the smaller operators. I met a man from Abbeyfield today who has a nursing home in North Kerry, and I've been in touch with him over the last few years. He often discussed the cost of living crisis, but also getting access to the Garda vetting portal for new staff that is coming in there. The larger operators are able to get straight in and have an accelerated system for vetting the workers that are coming in to work there. They don't have it, and small nursing home operators do not have that. There is, despite what anyone would say, a thousand less beds in the private sector since 2020, and there's a thousand less in the public sector since 2014. And we saw during COVID, often when some of the smaller operators, when there was an outbreak, it was the well-trained public sector, HSE-ran nurses that went in. I remember in Kenmare, for example, they went in and sorted out the problem. So we need to return the extra beds in the public sector to 6,200 where it was up into 2014. And we need to invest in more. It is linked to the last question. We need to invest in more step down beds in the public sector, so that people can be discharged from the hospitals and then provide the community care that I spoke to, with the multidisciplinary teams, the OTs, the physios and the home care assistants. But you have to pay them properly, and you have to give the home care operators, and I see them all over Kerry, you have to give them their travel expenses, which hasn't been done, and that's ridiculous.
Marian Harkin, independent TD, do you have any sympathy for some of the bigger operators who will point to their own management accounts showing net losses over particularly 2021 and 2022, and that some of them are also in danger maybe of exiting the market here, given all of the pressures we've just discussed, and at a time when we know we need another 11,000 beds are needed by the end of the decade. So is there a balance to be struck here between some of the needs of the big operators as well as the small operators you're thinking about tomorrow?
What we need to look at is the needs of the person in the nursing home. And that's how money should be spent. As I said, Emer tells us how much we're spending. First of all, it's important to note that spend on the Fair Deal scheme as a proportion of overall health expenditure has steadily declined over the last decade. That's a really important point. But my issue is more about the fact that spend should not be geographically linked, and it should not be linked to public or private. It should be linked to the care for the person who's being cared for. And that's not happening. And because of that, we are losing a number of the small to medium family-run nursing homes, and they will, to some extent, be replaced. But as you said, more and more multinational companies are coming in from abroad, and they are building the nursing homes. If we want to see what might happen, look to the UK. Look what happened there. In 2012, I think around 50% of the nursing homes were privately owned. By 2015, it was down to 20%. So the large companies had come in. So the point I'm making is, as a government and as a people, we need to look at the model of care that we want, and we are not delivering it right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Eimear Curry of Fine Gael, I'll let you respond there, but also just specifically on Marian's point there about Fair Deal and investment. Like, we have seen some increases there in terms of the weekly Fair Deal rates. Are they having any early impact? Is it too soon to say?
Well, I think we are seeing those new centres open. But, I mean, what Marian has said in relation to the an overall decline in Fair Deal, I'm not familiar with that. But, Marian, I'll take you at your word. And that is something that I wouldn't want to see, is a decline in Fair Deal rates per person. Because she's right, it is
well,
about...
compared to the overall health budget.
Oh, okay. Well, I will have a look at it. But just in relation to the nursing homes that are shutting down, not all of them are doing it because of cost pressures. Some of them are doing it from retirement. The model is changing. As I said, it is becoming, there are more complex needs in relation to whether it be dementia or lots of different issues. But we have done a public consultation in relation to what the operating model should look like.
And
work
on that
is
operating
going on.
Model, given that there's large parts here that you all agree on, and the need for a people-centric, people-led approach here when it comes to our citizens and our future generations who are going to need that home care and may need that residential care. Is there just need for a proper forum where there can be a bipartisan effort between all of the parties to collaborate around this?
I think there is a lot happening in this space already. I mean, we have a workforce advisory group when it comes to the healthcare workers. And we're having the public consultation, there has been the public consultation in relation to the operating model. We're looking at a regulatory framework for home care. I do think, though, that it is something across the floor of the Oireachtas that we do need to come together and work on this. I think that would be a positive thing.
It all depends on the implementation, of course. I mean, we had a bipartisan cross-party healthcare proposal. It was called Sláintecare, and unfortunately in the implementation that hasn't followed through. We still have probably an over-reliance on the private sector in nursing homes. I think it's 84% as opposed to 16, and there has to be more, 16% public, and that will have to be increased, and I think everyone could probably agree with that.
Okay, we'll go to one more text. Our texter says, there is also an issue of quality with the increasing role being played by private equity in the nursing home sector, and it's worrying in terms of the outsourcing of nursing homes to the public sector. Research has been done in the US which shows that purchases of nursing homes by private equity firms are associated with higher patient mortality rates, fewer caregivers, higher management fees and a decline in patient mobility. The research also shows that such nursing homes are more expensive for residents and the state should have to pay for places in these homes in the absence of public nursing homes. That, I imagine, is one we'll come back to as we do comparisons to US and the quality of patient care. I'm going to go to the other end of the life cycle that you mentioned earlier, Marian, in terms of childcare. And the Federation of Early Childhood Providers are releasing some 500 letters from different providers to the Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, detailing the challenges they're facing. This is something you, Craig Hughes from the Irish Daily Mail, you've been detailing this and looking at, I think it's an estimated 30 creches that have been telling parents they may be forced to close over the next 2 weeks.
That's right. My colleague Helen Bruce was reporting today in the Irish Daily Mail that 30 childcare providers catering for more than 900 children told parents over the past 2 weeks that they will close. So, I mean, this is very significant. And the early childhood providers said that the core funding model introduced by Minister Roderick O'Gorman in 2022, quote, exerts unnecessary demands on childcare owners with funding that comes nowhere near to the cost of rising inflation. So they're basically saying that the administrative burden is too great and the level of funding isn't significant enough. I guess I should say as well, you know, I think it was quite a significant intervention by Minister Roderick O'Gorman at the time. And I think he doubled that in the last budget as well. But it, like everything, it's been very difficult to keep pace with the rate of inflation. So, and again, very challenging. And we go back then to, if we look at the next budgetary cycle, as I already spoke about, if you have childcare providers coming cap in hand looking for more money again, they're going into that, I guess, battle with all the other competing demands that the government has. And all the while, they're going to have to deal with that deficit that's coming from health. So you can see all of a sudden why it's so important that that deficit gets managed because of the competing demands and the 5% spending rule.
Parents and guardians listening to all of that, I'm sure, are sympathetic, you know, to creche workers and creche owners, inflation, freezing of fees, the core funding, overregulation, the bureaucracy, admin. And yet, the same parents and guardians of young people will look at government stats that say more money than ever has been invested in childcare to the tune of 1.1 billion, and they're actually seeing the number of closures being reduced and is at a so-called five-year low, I think it is. How does the government square those two things in terms of like this narrative right now given childcare pressures?
Yeah, I think it's difficult for the government. And I think they, you know, they faced down some of the sector previously who didn't want to opt in entirely to the structure that they're putting in place, but they're quite clear when they were putting in place that it would be to drive down costs. And that's why they insisted on the criteria that they have and the administration. Now, look, I'm not familiar with the administrative burden itself that the providers have to go through. Maybe that is something government will look at. But it's a very difficult situation when you have that many providers saying they're going to leave the market because there simply isn't the places then for parents to pick up elsewhere.
Pa Daly of Sinn Féin, what is missing here? Because, again, on the face of it, the support seemed to be there, the freezing of fees, the core funding, efforts to reduce closures, and yet 30 potential closures by creches in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, it's a broad range. And people in general, they want affordable, local and high quality childcare. Unfortunately, over the last 10 years, childcare has become a luxury. Women are being not allowed to enter the workforce initially, and then they're being driven out of it, particularly women who have quite good jobs as well. We had proposed to reduce fees. Now, I do acknowledge that the government had given a commitment to reduce fees by 25% and 25%. We had said more than that, up to two-thirds in total, and that would be underpinned by legislation. But there is a lot of difficulty with the workers. It's difficult to recruit into childcare sector. Workers in general are not very well paid. We want them to guarantee the living wage. We broadly do support Marion's bill, but we would differ from them slightly in some sectors. The ratios that she speaks about in the PMB that they have for tomorrow, we think that ratios really should remain, especially for those in early years, because there have been a lot of cases over the last number of years where ratios, unfortunately, of workforce to children has been too high, and there has been problems in as a result.
You would like to keep a lower threshold, is it, on the ratios? What's the shift there?
Well, the keep us. The government has introduced this ratio system, and we would agree with that in general. The core funding, of course, hasn't introduced fees, but the government have also tried to link increased wages with and conditions of workforce with the increased fees, and that's not really fair, because we have noticed when there has been more money coming in to the sector, the wages for the workers has not increased.
Eimear Curry of Fine Gael, are you sympathetic to those sending the 500 letters, those who are petitioning Minister Roderick O'Gorman, these 30 creche owners forcing closure in the next 2 weeks?
I am sympathetic, and I have at least one in my constituency that I've been working closely with, and I've raised in the Shannon at the beginning of the year how important I think it is to maintain choice in childcare, so that parents can choose if they want the small neighbourhood Montessori, or they want a bigger creche facility, or they want to have a childminder who is working from their home, and that the National Childcare Scheme is available to them, which we are moving on. But what I would say is I think we have the structures Minister's right. The National Childcare Scheme, 25% of a reduction in making childcare more affordable. That's going to increase up to 50% later this year. I think core funding was a very positive move. And let's remember that 92% of service providers are signed up to the service. We're seeing a 15% increase in core funding this year, in year three. And that is going towards issues that have been raised in relation to inflation. We're also, there is an updated ERO expected this year in relation to pay of potentially 5% as recommended by the Labour Court for childcare workers. So I think the structures are right, but those 30 providers are right in raising particular issues like the administrative burden that they are under. Marion points to the accounting burden that they have, the paperwork that they have. Those do need to be addressed. We're looking to the implementation of a dedicated childcare agency to address the bureaucratic overload that there is, and of course the cap has been mentioned as well. So I would hope that these things can be addressed individually, but overall core funding has been a positive introduction for the sector, and so has the National Childcare Scheme for parents.
Marion Harkin, yeah. I'll bring you in now. I'll read a text that you might react to that's just come into the show. Under the guise of a subsidy to parents for childcare, the government is introducing childminding regulations that are so disproportionate and inappropriate, childminders will leave the sector en masse. This, in addition to the huge number of primarily small creches that are closing literally monthly, means the government is facilitating large corporations and businesses monopolising the childcare market. I beg the government not to proceed in this direction for the sake of our current generation and future generations of our children and parents. And that's signed Mari, an extremely worried childminder.
Well, does that not sound the same as what we were discussing a few minutes ago when it comes to nursing homes? That what we're seeing is the closure of more and more smaller, medium-sized, often one, two-person initiatives in a local town, a local village, closing, while larger companies and corporations are coming into the market. A few quick points, Sonia. As far as the ratios are concerned, Pat, I absolutely support them. What I'm saying is fair deal funding has to take recognition of new requirements. Core funding. But just to go back to core funding for a minute, we have quite a number of childcare providers who, after COVID, the government said, look, we looked after you well in COVID, and they did. And they said, look, do the right thing, keep your fees low. And they did. And some of those providers are locked into the fees that they were charging in 2017, 2018, 2019. Whereas if you're a new provider to the market with new premises, you can charge whatever you like and you still get core funding. Now, that's inherently inequitable and that needs to change. And the other issue, Anya, and it was mentioned, was about accounts. The revenue, you send your accounts to revenue every year. I don't know about the rest of you. I always thought revenue was God. If revenue accepted the accounts, that was good enough for me. Do the Department of Children accept the accounts that revenue accept? No, they don't. They want a separate set of accounts prepared by an accountant. The amount of work for often small childcare providers to get those ready, and the huge cost. These are the kind of things that are driving them out. These can be fixed. And to be fair to the minister, he did reduce the cost of childcare in general. And he did increase the salaries of staff. Maybe more is needed, but he did something. The third leg of the stool that he did not deal with was ensuring that there are providers in the market, and especially the smaller and medium-sized ones, as well as the larger ones that are now moving in.
Eimear Curry, just finally and briefly, on those two specific points, that what would seem unfairness there with the newer providers coming in, just your brief response, please.
Well, I think, like I said, Marion has raised issues that I think that can be fixed within the construct of core funding. They are things that have been raised with me, and I have also raised them with the minister, because it is those 30 childcare providers, it is affecting them. And I think they deserve to know if these are issues that can be addressed.
And what about something as practical as the two sets of accounts?
And I've already raised that this evening as well, that there is a lot of burden put on providers.
Can something simple like that be rectified? That would be one thing off the long checklist.
Well, I'm not the government, so I can't tell Marion of that, but it sounds like a good idea to me.
But okay, can I say this much, Anya? She talks about 30 childcare providers. Tomorrow, the Federation of Early Childcare Providers are publishing a book with 320 letters. 500 providers wrote a letter. They're publishing just 320 of them. It would break your heart to read some of them. Please, I would ask all politicians, have a look at them and you'll see what's happening. And you'll see that the solutions are there. They just are. We just have to find them. And I think while the minister has done some good work, and I don't deny that, he is not looking after all parts of the system to ensure access as well as more affordable.
What it comes back to is affordability, keeping it local and high quality. And while the increasing core funding, the problem with that is it hasn't reduced the fees. And I do accept that the chart of accounts has placed a big financial burden. I don't know whether the revenue are God, but certainly they're an interventionist God, like McCabe would say. But
on that, I'm going to go to our final item of tonight.